fans, and welcome to another edition of Cubs on Tap. Solid win tonight, Nick. Solid W. Loving the little tag you got in your name tag there. Cubs win 5-0 behind a Morel Grand Slam, a Yan Gomes homer. Some nice pitching from Ben Brown, and the bullpen doesn't shit the bed. So, what do you think, Nick? What are your thoughts? I know you didn't get a chance to talk about last night's game, but if you had any rants about that that you wanted to get off of your chest, I know this mic sometimes can be therapeutic. But let's start with a little bit of veggies if you wanted to talk about that at all.
Yeah, you know, with last night, I was really mad in the moment, and I was steaming, but it's pretty early. This Cubs team's looking really good. And for what they did tonight, when you have a game like last night, you almost have to do what they did tonight just to wash that away and let that, because that could be something that takes your momentum completely away, a loss like that. Because that was, it was crushing to watch as a fan and even probably worse as a player. So I wasn't too mad after the fact. I got over it because it's early and I'm having a lot of confidence in this team early on. So just riding that wave, man.
Yeah, it was nice to see that they were able to put this one in the rearview mirror and kind of have a little bounce back of a day. Very quiet. But I think we need to start tonight's show with a little talk about the guy who was on the mound today. And that's Mr. Ben Brown. And I don't know if you noticed inside the little ticker, My thing was, what can Brown do for you? Because I think at the end of the day, we have a very versatile arm right here that, yeah, he looks phenomenal through 77 pitches tonight. Only ended up getting through 4 2/3, which is fine. I'm sure he has a lot of pitch restrictions, a lot of restrictions in general on how long they want him to go. But I think he is incredible to watch right now. And I want your thoughts just on him overall, and maybe down the line, like, what do you think his role becomes with this team? Because you're going to get guys back like Steele. You're going to get guys back like Jameson Taillon, and only 5 guys can pitch a day. And I am on the, this just to preface, I don't think that Kyle Hendricks, no matter how bad he is going to be thrown out of the rotation without getting a huge, you know, leash to do whatever he needs to do to figure it out. So, yeah, what do you like about Ben Brown, and where do you see his career for the Cubs or usage, per se, being in 2024 here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like about Ben Brown, and tonight specifically, he was just so solid. He was spotting that fastball. He's maintained his composure, and that's what you want to see with a young pitcher like that. There's been a few outings this year where he's gotten really, you know, shooken up. He's had a lot of bad shakes, basically, and tonight he came out and he looked completely different, you know, spotting the fastball. He doesn't have a huge pitch arsenal, so he has to be spotting those pitches to set up his secondary pitches. Early on, like first inning, I was kind of questioning the pitch sequence. I don't know about you, but a lot of fastballs in a row, and then they weren't mixing in that curveball that he's got. But eventually, obviously, that all came to fruition, and he had a heck of an outing. And I think he was on a pitch restriction, like you said. It sounded like 75 pitches from the broadcast, so that was painful to hear Craig come out, you know, right before he could get that W. But that's why we don't score those W's as highly as other stats with pitchers. So,
yeah, I think it's that brings like an overall baseball conversation that maybe we should table for a Sunday show. But I'm with you, man. I think that there should be a better way of grading pitcher wins. I think it should be at a discretion maybe of the scorer on who came in a moment that was the most important or had the most important performance. Because I mean, I love Drew Smyly, and he was great tonight too. You know, only the one blemish, which was the earned run there. But I don't know. I think that he, at the end of the day, when you go 4 2/3, yeah, it's not deep enough to go in and get a win. But I don't know. I think it's a messed up system, but that's just me. But yeah, the Ben Brown goes 4 2/3. Drew Smyly goes an inning and a third, hands it over to Yency Almonte, who Yency Almonte looked pretty good tonight. I'll say that. That's an interesting,
yep,
you know, guy that I think I've kind of sat, I've kind of tagged myself on, you know, hey, let's see how this guy figures it out, because he does have nasty stuff. And if you can ever find the strike zone consistently, he's going to be a weapon out of that pen. Leiter, just fantastic yet again, just nails. Only blemish is the one walk. And, you know, Alzolay comes in and locks it down. So I think what was interesting, and I want to bring this up with you, Nick, is I think over in the early all, in the early going, we've seen Craig Counsell do a lot of like strictly one inning for these guys out of the pen. You haven't seen, you know, maybe a guy like Leiter going two, where like opposed to David Ross, we saw David Ross take chances for multiple innings on some guys. Is that something you've noticed too? And if so, are there guys in the bullpen that you wish, you know, Counsell would go, you know, deeper into other than Smyly? It seems like Smyly has a little bit more of a leash, which is fine.
Yeah,
he's a starter, but I don't know. To me, there's a couple guys that we named there that maybe could go two there.
Yeah, and you know, Leiter right away comes to my mind. He's done it so many times in the past. Like you said, Rossi would do that a lot of times, and you know, sometimes he got burned. Sometimes he left him in one more inning than he should have, and we were on here going, oh, maybe you should have pulled him out just a little sooner, but. You know, early on, it seems like Craig Counsell has a really good feel for the game. And we've known this with, you know, watching Brewers baseball, unfortunately, having to and keeping up with it. But we know that he had a feel for the game of baseball. And you can just tell. Now, the bullpen, like, what I really liked was that he gave these guys chances again. Like, Azulay, he said, get out there. I know it's not a safe situation, but just go get something good under your belt. You need that as a pitcher, especially early in the year. You're trying to build on these things. So the bullpen, like you said tonight, it felt really good. Smyly is a guy that is very important because he can give you that long stretch. He can kind of like, I think JD said it, he can almost take you all the way home. If he's on, he can like take you the rest of the way there to at least the setup guy, which is Leiter, it seems.
Do you think that, and this is going to go back to Ben Brown, we're going to talk about a pitching, I think, on this episode, because I think we've talked so much about the at-bats, you know, handing the baton off back and taking walks. And obviously we saw it tonight, you know, they kind of dink and dunk the ball around, get a couple walks, and then they just get one big swing and they're up 5-0. You know, that's just kind of how this offense just seems to work. They have the ability to put up runs in bunches. But I want to talk a little pitching because I think this team's going to go as deep as the pitching takes them. And if you look at a guy like Ben Brown, what do you see? Like, do you think that when Steele is healthy and Tyone is healthy, do you foresee him being able to make the transition into the bullpen to provide a little bit of – because some guys will say – that when you come up and you become a starter, that's what you want to be. Yeah. And that's kind of the future for this kid, I think, eventually down the line.
Yeah.
100%. And I don't know. What are your thoughts on maybe moving him into the bullpen because you need it? And because you do have, you know, some guys who are making a little bit more money who have the pedigree like Justin Steele, who, you know, kind of deserve their chances in the starting rotation opposed to, you know, Ben Brown, a young guy, maybe can help you elsewhere.
Yeah. And like you said, you 100% need it. It just comes down to, like you said, when guys come up as starters, they want to be starters. And when I see Ben Brown come in a dirty inning, you can just tell this is not comfortable for him. He was not made for relief work. However, I do think if you're bringing him into a clean inning, a clean situation that maybe you want him to go two innings, try to get you two innings out of the bullpen, I think that's a possibility. I just don't see him being a high leverage arm right now. He just seems like like you said, he came up as a starter. I think you use him as a piece, just like you kind of use Smiley. That early in the game, give you some length, take some, you know, outs so you can just preserve the deeper part of the bullpen, because that's what you really want to do. But like you said, Steele, the guys have earned their shot out there. So Ben Brown's going to have to be helping out somewhere else, which is going to probably be in the bullpen. But I just don't see him in the high leverage roles.
Yeah, I agree with you on, because I think that also takes experience to go into that bullpen and be in those situations where you got to pitch your way out of it. And it's never going to be pretty when you're coming in out of the bullpen. It's just never going to be that way. Because 9 times out of 10, you're only allowing your starters to go through the order twice. And that first guy who's coming out of the pen is getting the top of the order, if you're lucky, most likely. Or you're getting the 3-4-5 tough run because you don't want to see your starter see that group for the third time. I like Ben Brown because I think that no matter where you put him, a 96 to 97 mile an hour fastball is going to play. And The only worry I have is that we're selling Ben Brown short by not giving him that chance to, he's clearly taking this opportunity, and it's a small sample size. Let's not, you know, split hairs about that. But overall, the first two kind of starter-esque appearances, I know the first was an opener and then, but all things considered, he was the one who was going to pitch the bulk of those innings in that game, just like tonight. I fear that we're leaving potential on the table for nostalgia. And I love Kyle Hendricks.
I hope that tomorrow
he goes out and shoves. But you know that saying that it's always things are good until they pass you, and then once they pass you, it's like having like that old, like, I love the Shane Gillis joke. It's like having like the 16-year-old dog walking and you have to say, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" I'm not saying Kyle is that. It's a terrible comparison, but it's the new toys that you open up on Christmas, and Ben Brown, and, you know, eventually, you know, Cade Horton, and, you know, these guys are going to come up and show you things that they can do. And it's a different league. And when do you let that take over opposed to, you know, what we owe Kyle? And then, and this is not a shot on Kyle. I hope that I eat my words for the rest of the year and there's two or three blips and that was it. But I watch so much of Kyle this year and in the past couple of years. And I want this Cub team to be great in the future, you know? So these experiences for Ben Brown, maybe not. I just need a little bit of your thoughts on that whole situation, because I think that it's an awkward one.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting. Right before you said that, I was thinking, I wish the Cubs organization was a little more harsh, but you do and you don't, because I'm thinking about Hendricks. That's the guy I'm thinking of. A month down the road, if he's still the Hendricks he is right now, you have a problem keeping him in the rotation when you got capable arms behind. And it's like, yeah, you owe Kyle. You do owe him something for what he's done for the organization, but you have to treat it like it's a business, because that's ultimately what it is. You're trying to win. That's what you're doing. So I've been worried about Hendricks for a while. So it's interesting you brought that up, because it's just his stuff. It's always, he's always had the control, the precision where he can get away with not being so fast. But I feel like that's caught up to him now, where the not having the velocity is kind of really a problem, because if he's not locating his soft stuff early on, then it just looks like a volleyball. These guys got beach ball volleyball. Like, so I don't know. I mean, it's a tough thing. It's a tough, you know, conversation to be having as a Cubs fan even, but like you said, nostalgia, at some point you have to put that aside. You want to win. That's what we want to ultimately be doing, is winning.
Yeah, and I think too, like, I mean, Steven brings up a good point about, you know, he agrees with talking about, you know, these options that we have and keeping a guy like Ben Brown around. Our bullpen, yeah, it's struggle. And I think that that's going to be something that they make move on. But Kyle doesn't play out of the bullpen. That if he's on the roster and he's not starting, that's mop-up duty. And I think that, like, it'll be interesting to see what he brings tomorrow. Maybe what we need is just one day of and I love the "for the love of the game" moment. I'm going to try to do my best to one more day in this. I'm not saying one more day in the sun for Kyle, but I need one day in the sun for Kyle Hendricks to bring my panic-o-meter on him for, you know, the next couple. And two, like, it's Kyle's always been a slow starter in terms of getting going. And two, like, he needs so much to go right with that changeup and having great feel for it. Tomorrow, there's no excuses for that because they're in San Diego and it will be comfortable. It's a park that you can get away with, you know, giving up some hard contact because it is a bigger park. But yeah, man, I think the Cubs got a really interesting conversation when all these guys are healthy, and it's a good one to have. It's good to have good quality arms because, as you know, Nick, I've been on the Jameson Taillon revenge tour, even, you know, with this injury and this issue. I think he's going to come back, and I think he's going to have a wonderful year, you know, as long as he can stay healthy. But yeah, man, I think too, like, these are all interesting conversations to have because you have such a glaring need in that bullpen. And I think that there's no wrong answer, I don't think. I don't think that you could find Javier Assad out there again, who has done it before. You could give Ben Brown a shot if you feel like that's where he can help you this year. Hayden Wisniewski is another name that I think is going to contribute at this big league level this year. But tonight was great. Yency Almonte, all these guys come in, but down the next couple series, we need to start figuring some things out and settling guys into roles because this is kind of an issue. I want your opinion. Who's the guy in your circle of trust right now? If you're going to that bullpen, you need three outs that isn't named Adbert Elsley. Who's the guy that you trust most? Just give me top three, because I think that three is a good number because that's essentially what you'll need close to a playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know?
It's a tough, horrible. Bad choice overall.
Yeah, just to get three in there is like, oh, I don't know if I even have that many in my circle of trust. Right now, first, it's Leiter, because Leiter's done it for you before. Mayweather was there. That's the thing.
You can't allow it. He's injured.
Probably next one is Smiley. He's been pretty solid. So Smiley would be the next. I don't know if anybody else that I'd be like, I trust you.
You know, it's like, I'm going to throw a name out there. He didn't pitch tonight, and I know that they gave him a lot of money, but I still think that we're going to see
Hector Neris
as a guy who could lock it.
I hope so. Dude, I really hope so. I have my worries with him too. It's not pretty.
Solid. He doesn't.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
It's not easy. I'll say that. Hector Neris is a name. I think it'd be interesting to see if Palencia throws his name in there eventually, because he has just crazy good stuff. He throws 100. If he could ever find a secondary off-speed pitch, he'd be like the best pitcher out of that bullpen. But he doesn't have it yet. He's young too. He's got time to develop it. But Yeah, man, I think three is a tough ask. It's a really tough ask right now. Dark horse, I'm going to go Yency Almonte. I know it's the oddest pick out of anybody who's probably out there, but yeah. I'm going to bet on the guy who has nasty stuff. I am, and he does. He's got gross spin rate. He's got the fastball. If he could ever just find the plate.
Find the strike zone.
That's the problem. But, Nick, I want to give you some final thoughts on today's game before we kind of move on to tomorrow's. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens tomorrow with Kyle. But any final thoughts on tonight's game? Obviously, the Cubs win 5-1 tonight, bounce back after that horrible blown loss yesterday that made us all mad. Really did. Made us really upset. I didn't go to sleep very easily last night. I watched a lot of unfortunate scrap heap pitchers to try to figure out if the Cubs could go out and sign anybody. But dark horse name, Cam Sanders out of Iowa. He's on the Iowa Cubs. I really like his stuff. He's starting to find the plate. He's a name that I hope that they give a shot in the next couple weeks. But any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think we should definitely take note on is how much they're grinding these plate appearances out. Like, they are really putting pressure on these starting pitchers when they go out there, and they look like they just have a great approach. So I'm really excited about the offensive side. Like you said, we're only going to go as far as our pitching can take us, but the offense right now, I feel really good about. You know, you're still not seeing the huge power surge that we predicted you're not going to have. But if you can stay at this clip of just the on-base percentage and even a little lower, you're still okay. I have a lot of confidence in that. And today they showed you, like, they can just grind out. If it's a starting pitcher that has some filthy stuff, like Musgrove's curveball, it was really working. And they stayed in their own. They grinded out the plate appearances, and they eventually were able to knock them out in, what, the fourth or fifth. So it's just great.
Yeah, yeah. I love what you said about Musgrove. You know, they've really made these Padre pitchers, starting pitchers, work over the course of these first two games. Hopefully that's a common trend that we see tomorrow in the series finale, which will be tomorrow. It's Kyle Hendricks versus, you know, Southside foe, friend, old Cubs prospect, Mr. Dylan Cease. Nick, what do they got to do? What, you know, this is a tough pitcher. Dylan Cease, too, type of guy who can not find the strike zone at times. Kind of bodes well for the Cubs if they can remain patient. But what do they got to do to put up some runs, get some good pitching, and, you know, come out of this series with a win? And it'll feel like you should have swept it, but we'll take 2 or 3. We always will on this West Coast trip.
100%. Yeah, we'll take 2 out of 3 for sure. And the way to get there is you got to knock out Cease. And by doing it, you stick with the trend of today. You take the pitches, you see what he's got, you communicate. It seems like they're doing a really good job communicating in the dugout about what they're seeing. The cohesion of this team just feels really nice, especially with the offense. So they got to keep that up. And then with Cease, like you mentioned, he has a tendency to just lose control, and he can fall down like a momentum staircase, if you will. You could just watch it happen. So a little pressure just could crumble him. So we just got to keep the opportunities coming offensively. And then Hendricks just has to be Hendricks and kind of just maintain things and get us some length so that we don't have to touch the bullpen as much because we're scared.
Yeah. I think it's twofold too. We've used the Padres have had to use their bullpen a lot over the course of this series as well. Just get to the off day, right? Win a ball game and get to Thursday when you can rest before you go and play the Seattle Mariners. It would be nice to see Kyle get some length. It'd be nice to see anybody get some length. It seems like the last couple times the Cubs starters have failed to get as deep as we would have, you know, preferred that they get in games. And it's tough. I know it's tough. They've seen some really difficult lineups over the course of this start. But it'd be really cool if we can get a deep Kyle Hendricks run and maybe one more day in the sun. Nick, we're at 26 minute mark here, man. This has been fun, but are there any final thoughts, any tidbits from the game, anything from the last couple of weeks that you're seeing from this Cubs baseball team that you want to touch on? The floor is yours for as long as you need it, my friend.
Just good stuff. Like, I'm seeing great stuff. I'm excited as a fan. I have a lot of just excitement for what's to come. I'm excited to watch Cubs baseball. Not that I wasn't last year, but every day this year, it's just the start, the happiness and everything. So I'm excited. I think everyone's excited.
I am too. And you know what I'm really excited for? I'm excited for all of the comments that have been in here. There's been some really, really good ones over the course of this show. We've done a really good job of trying to highlight these. I'm going to go and just give a few. Just give me a second to scroll up. Darren, great comment. Bullpen arms are like field goal kickers, except for the golden few. You never know year to year. Yeah, 100%.
That's great. Yeah.
100%. I say that about goalies too. Hockey is, it seems like that's the same kind of, you can get a hot goalie in the playoffs. Steven, another good comment in here. What was, you know, Merriweather lighter and, well, I don't know. Yeah, that's, I think that's where we're at in terms of this bullpen. Darren with another great comment in here. Mike Tauchman, even when he gets out, he gets 10 pitches per at bat. There's a lot of these guys on this roster, I think, that do that. Yeah, it always seems like there's a lot of guys who are going up and giving good at bats. And Marvin's perspective from the other side. This is an interesting thought. I haven't thought of this. I like Leiter in the closer role. I think he has better stuff. Yeah, and he plays against lefties. And yep. I haven't looked at his righty splits as often as I probably should, but I think they're gonna stick with Abbott for a while. But I like the thought of that. It'd be really interesting to see if down the line they visit that. Or I think at the end of the day, Marvin, we're gonna get somebody maybe at the back of this bullpen to then slate everybody down one. I think Adbert could end up being that hater-esque guy that comes in a situation where maybe he can get out of it for you and you don't have to burn the closer. But it'll be interesting. It'd be really interesting to see, you know, what they do, because I do feel like this team's going to add one, maybe two players at the deadline and maybe even before, because they're going to need to. They have some holes in there. But, Nick, this has been awesome. We're going to get out of here. Cubs on Tap is one of two Chicago Cubs podcasts here on the On Tap Sports Net. Us and the Digger Boys do one hell of a job. They go live on Mondays. They do more encompassing Cubs baseball and a little bit more depth talk into what's going on around the league. Bulls, Bears, Cubs, White Sox, MMA, Blackhawks, you name it. If you watch it and it's in Chicago, we have it. Head over to www.ontapsportsnet for all your sports and literature needs. To get a win tonight, Nick, we got to celebrate it the only way we know how. And before we get out of here, let me thank the wonderful listeners for following along. It is 1:30 on the East Coast, and it is 12:30 in the Central. You guys are warriors just like us watching these late, late Cub games. And that's why we always say Cubs fans are the best fans. But, Nick, let's get out of here the only way we know how.
Fuck the Cardinals.
Let's go Cubbies.